T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's end of June to start a training camp and early July, or mid-July rather, to get games going in earnest. So I don't think there's an obstacle right now. What is being negotiated still is, how does confinement work? What are players going to be allowed to do when they're in this confined space in Orlando or Las Vegas?
Chris Mannix joining us a few minutes ago, and he brings up trying to save money, especially in the capped leagues, salary cap numbers and things like that. And unfortunately, one of the victims of this pandemic from an economic point of view are players who might be free agents. Peter Gammons talked about how Mookie Betts, through no fault of his own, he thought he was hitting the perfect time to become a free agent. He's now going to probably pick the worst time to become a free agent at the end of this season. Now, that's in a non-capped league. In a capped league, and your example of Torrey Krug was the perfect one. I mean, is Torrey Krug now going to command the same sort of offer in free agency that we all thought he was going to get going into this offseason?
I can't imagine. I mean, now there's always those teams, and he'd have to choose if he wants to go there and if the team would be willing to offer him, but that are so low and right against the cap floor anyway that maybe they would say, hey, we actually can afford, even with the cap overall number is lower, we weren't really close to that anyway, so we could put in a bid for Torrey Krug. Maybe that's a possibility. But I just think we'd always thought that if he stays with the Bruins, he would have to take a little bit less than what was out there, similar to, Pasternak and Marchand and Bergeron. He would have to do something like that. And now, if you lower all of those numbers, like whatever his top offer, what we thought it was going to be, if you trim that down, maybe the Bruins can be a little bit more competitive with their offer, and he ends up staying.
And if you're a guy like Torrey Krug, and I'm not trying to tell Torrey how to do business for himself, that's entirely up to him, are you more tempted to take a one-year bridge deal? You know what? Let's get through this. Let's get through the economic times that we're in right now. Let's try to look ahead. Maybe a year from now, things look different. We've got sports back in front of fans, and, it changes the economic landscape. We mentioned Forbes said that the NFL was going to lose $5.5 billion this year if they play in front of empty stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a free agent in the NFL, how can you expect that you're going to get the same sort of offer now as you thought you were going to get under the system that right now is being torn asunder?
Yeah, I think what I would try to do, and you sit with your agent and you're trying to determine what's the best thing for you, and really in any of the sports, I would try to sign a one-year deal or a multi-year deal, but with an opt-out, like a player option type of deal. So you at least get a good chunk of guaranteed money, not as much as you would have gotten in normal circumstances, but you also, if you see that things are kind of going back to normal a little bit, you opt out after 1 year and you're a free agent again. But if things are still kind of like, I don't really know, or like Mannix's point is next year there may not be fans in the NBA crowds.
He thinks you might not see fans in the stands until like next March.
So you're thinking, all right, what's
Which
that going to do
probably,
for revenue?
That would probably coincide with what most people think is a more realistic time frame for a vaccination.
Yeah, right, exactly. So if you get 2, 3, 4 years on the books, but you kind of give yourself the out. And I wonder if more teams would sort of understand that too. Like, all right, this guy wants to hit free agency when it's more legitimate and all the money is available to him. But at the same time, you sign just a one-year deal, either you get hurt or you sign a one-year deal and things don't really snap back to normal, and now the next year is kind of similar, or maybe it's even a little bit worse. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen. So I would try to get as much guaranteed money as possible, knowing that it's not what it would normally be, but then give yourself some flexibility. Sound like a J.D. Martinez-like contract where you have all these opt-outs in it.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think I've ever even heard of that in the NHL, opt-out contracts. Baseball, every contract, it seems, has them.
Now, are there player op? There's player options, though, isn't there, in the NHL? Or is there not?
I don't think so.
Because, like, in the NBA there are, and then you could just sign – you could sign a two-year deal and have a player option in the second, or a three-year deal with, like, a player option in the second and the third, or something like that is, like, what you could do and give yourself a little bit of security.
I mean, if Mookie Betts – looks at the financial landscape at the end of this season, and especially in a best-case scenario, they're going to get half a year of baseball games in empty stadiums and theoretically some sort of playoffs and get that out of the way. But you can imagine the financial hit Major League Baseball is going to take. He can't think that there's any chance he's going to get the same sort of offer he could have realistically, and I think fairly have thought he was going to get at the end of a normal offseason.
No, I know. Like, all these guys have to be looking at it, and that's why I think if you're a free agent, even if you're on the worst team in the league, don't you say, yeah, let's come back. Like, let's get as many games in as possible. Let's play the playoff run, have the salary cap not take nearly as much of a dip, and then hopefully you're in somewhat of the ballpark. Obviously, there's going to be some money lost there, but hopefully you're somewhat close.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Steve's on the cell phone. Hey, Steve.
Hi, guys. How are we doing today?
What's up, Steve?
What's going on?
Everybody safe, I hope?
Yes, sir. So far, thank you.
You know, you had said that through no fault of his own, Mookie Betts. Now, I'm not saying he's a bad guy because I love him. He bought groceries for people out in L.A. He holds those bowling tournaments and all that. But, you know, if he didn't want to set the bar for the rest of the league, all these people coming up, you know, my thing is let them set their own bar. And he wasn't looking at $400 million because he could have got $300 million. Lou was talking about it. They were going to offer him off of $300 million. Whatever it might have been, he might have been locked in now at $305 million, whatever the case may be, for 7 or 8 years, instead of going after a $400 million contract like Mike Trout. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the guy; he's a great player. I wish he was still here.
No, but when I say through no fault of his own, no, Steve, you're misunderstanding. When I say through no fault of his own, no one on the planet could have predicted this.
Yeah, it's not like he got hurt.
No one knew this was coming. Absolutely. Yeah. But my thing is, maybe this will reset the vibe of some of these guys. Thinking they're going to get $30-40 million.
He was going to.
No, I know he was. I know he was. And I'm just saying that's kind of out of whack for any kind. I mean, think of that. Think of what you could do with $300 million, Bill. I mean, really. And, you know, we'll never realize that in our lifetimes, obviously. But maybe that'll set the bar lower for all the athletes and all the sports now after this thing goes by. They're going to have to reconsider. If something like this ever happens again, you're going to go through crazy. You may not get what you want, and the same thing applies to the Patriots. I think that salary cap's going to dip by about 30% next year. So they don't have the money they thought they were going to have.
Well, and obviously in baseball there is no salary cap. But look, Ed,
right.
The point here is, yes, he is still going to make more money than any of us are ever going to see in our lifetimes. I understand that. The fact of the matter is these guys are independent businessmen. They're entertainers in the same way that we don't begrudge what – pick your movie star today, what Ryan Reynolds makes to make Deadpool. We don't care what it does matter to us.
No. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. from those movies, please. Like, that was just absurd from all
so
the
I'm
MCU
supposed
movies,
to get but... all hot and bothered because Mookie didn't take $300 million from the Red Sox?
And
I don't think
players are going to sign early because they're worried about the next pandemic. I mean, they seem to come every 100 years that it would delay something like this, so... I think, again, anytime a player is presented with a pretty serious extension and they don't want to sign it before free agency, it's for one of, like, three reasons. Either, you know, you sign early because you're, you know, you don't want to risk getting hurt and losing out on a ton of money. You just love the place so much and you just love the idea of the security. Maybe the risk of a really bad season, right? Like, those are probably the reasons why you would sign early, not because, oh, there could be a pandemic coming.
No, I think that what is going to affect it is, look, the economics of my sport are different now than they were 4 months ago. That's just a fact. And we use Torrey Krug as the example. He's in a salary cap sport. The salary cap for next year is dependent on revenues from this year. it's hard to picture a scenario in which they're going to have as much money to spend on players next year or the year after that. So realistically, how much of the salary cap could any individual player now expect to get?
Right. And you got to think, at least hopeful, that it's not going to dip for a very long time. You know, like, it's eventually going to bounce back. And I think either a couple things could happen. Either when the fans come back in the stands, you're going to be able to, you know, make that money back. Or, depending on how long this really takes, I mean, you would think the games on TV would be even more valuable. Now, it depends on where you're at in your TV contract.
Right, you're probably under contract.
If you're already under contract, you are. But going forward, I would imagine that the ratings are going to be going up, right? If people are still either on house arrest or kind of half house arrest and you can't attend the games anymore, like, all of a sudden, you know, we're going to see some pretty crazy ratings for the sports, I would imagine.
Now, Gammon's made the guess here, and it's a guess on all of our parts, that he doesn't think Major League Baseball is going to get back to some sense of normalcy financially until 2023, and that doesn't seem unrealistic to me.
2020, yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, because they're definitely throwing out all kinds of numbers about, you know, what percentage the gate is, like, a part of the, as the team revenue, right? And just how long can you go with no fans until you're just really hit hard and now the salary cap number goes down. Plus, you still have to honor, you know, the current contracts that you have.
I know Wiggy and I had a disagreement about this yesterday. He's convinced that not only will there be college football in the fall, but fans will be allowed to go. They're not. And I know he thinks that a college scenario is different. The individual cities and states in which these stadiums exist aren't going to allow gatherings of that size.
Well, so
doesn't matter if there's
Ohio
kids
State,
on campus or not.
Yeah, Ohio State's talking about trying to get 20 to 50,000 fans in their stadium. And now
seems high to me.
Their stadium holds 100,000.
Right.
You know, so
right.
That is really low compared to what they normally put in
No,
there.
I just mean what they'd be allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the athletic director, they've been running these different, they call them social distancing models, and they're trying to figure out what ways they could safely get as many fans as possible, knowing that it wouldn't be 100%, but I still maintain it's either all or nothing. Like, that seems like, that's still so many people. And then, like, if you let in 1,000 people, it's like, what's the point? You let in 20,000, it's like, well, that's a big number. What's, you know, at that point, why not more? But they at least are trying to maybe at some point in the season have half their stadium full.
We mentioned that John Shannon said yesterday the NHL has begun looking at this, and their best guess is that most of the arenas in the NHL, under the current guidelines for distancing, might be able to put 2,000 to 2,500 people in the building. Well, then the question becomes, and it's the same question that's being answered by restaurants and other businesses, if I can only operate at X capacity, but I have to pay ushers and concessionaires and ticket takers, is it worth it to me financially to open it?
I don't think so. I don't. I mean, each restaurant owner would know better than I would, and they would all probably be a little bit different. But I would imagine, you know, if you're opening it up, you know, you're barely getting by when it's 100% capacity.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden you have 1/4 of the business, and I don't know if you can still operate with 1/4 of the employees in there. And then if so, people are still, I mean, it's just tough. And the same thing with, like, opening up the stadiums. We talked about it with Wiggy with, like, movie theaters. Like, to them to go in there and turn everything on and to have all the people employed to be able to put, like, 2 people per row in the thing. Like, I don't know if that's gonna be worth it for them either.
And for many of these businesses, restaurants, movie theaters, whatever, there's the added expense of, oh, I have to buy a bunch of plexiglass partitions, and I have to change the traffic flow. It's all one way. You can come in this door and out that door, and you can use this restroom, but you can't use that restroom. And I have to go in and clean that restroom, you know, top to bottom every 30 minutes. The labor costs of just trying to keep it going is what kills it.
Yeah, I agree. And then also, you know, you're talking about these football games, and to even make a dent or to even make it look like there are people in the crowd, you're going to need low thousands at the very least, and then still you're going to run into issues, right? People getting in and people getting out. You can only control so much of it, right? Like, you can't tell, like, hey, you can only go get a hot dog in the second inning or whatever, or now or do you just close concessions at all? So now you go in there, you got 3,000 people in an arena where there are no beer or, you know, hot dog sales. So it's like, how How enjoyable is that? And now, like, are the bathrooms open or closed? I don't think legally you could have a place that would have no bathrooms open.
No, I read that they'd have to be open legally, but you'd literally have to go in and sanitize the entire bathroom like every 30 minutes.
It seems like a lot. It seems like too much.
617-779-7937. Keith's in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith.
Hey, guys. I just really had a question. I know, Dale, what side of the fence that you're on, and I'm not about to debate opening and closing stuff. This, I just have more of a statement or a question. But why is it that the teams can't open up their practice facilities? Because it's not like there's 1,000 people every day in their practice facilities. You have to be somebody to get in the building. I mean, it's not like there's a high contamination factor in their practice facilities. That's like I can show up at the Bruins Workout Center and throw skates on and skate around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that the reasoning here is the more players you allow into a training facility, the more support personnel you have to have in there as well. And as Chris Mannix said to us, in the NBA, not so much with the Celtics, but with a lot of other organizations, a number of the coaches and trainers and support staff are older people. And are you putting those people at risk if you bring them in as well?
But it's also, they need to be, at least in certain states, you need to be ruled like essential. Isn't that it? Like if the Celtics were ruled essential, couldn't they go practice?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, our station's open. You know what I mean? And like, you can go get coffee and donuts anywhere. You can go get liquor stores anywhere. Like, the WWE was deemed in Florida, they were deemed essential, and they could go and do all their stuff. And they have, you know, just as many people as a basketball team would have practicing. And
it, well,
and
when the governor
there are
of
open
a state,
facilities
like Andrew Cuomo in New York, or Gavin Newsom in California, or Charlie Baker here, when they advocate for the return of professional sports, even in empty arenas, aren't they in effect saying, yeah, we're going to let you come back and practice as well? I mean,
you would have to.
Do they think
in fact, there's even less people. If you're going to play a game in an empty arena, there's think about it, there's only one team at a practice facility, so you cut that number of people in half, so that'd be even safer.
So
but again,
my guess
I think
is
most
if,
of them are open.
If they advocate for the return of professional sports, they are acknowledging that that means that the training facilities would have to be open. Like right now in the Premier League, teams are training, you know, in their facilities preparing for the start of the season. Now there are restrictions and there are, you know, safety precautions and all that, but you have to allow them to practice and prepare, right?
Oh yeah. Like I think in the NFL right now, you know, the coaches aren't allowed to go or the players aren't allowed to go to the facilities, but if you're an injured player getting treatment, you can
right.
go in there.
So and that I was the same like even now. Like if you're a Patriots player who had surgery at the end of the season, you could be going into the stadium all along and being
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Aided by the training staff.
Right. So, I mean, how close are we then to just letting a basketball team practice? Like, it's not that many people. And all these other jobs are open. It's just, it's weird. Like, how they pick and choose.
And I probably don't understand the whole, you know, you can only have a player in at a time. That was what Minnesota was talking about. Yeah, they were going to open today, but only one player at a time, 45-minute workout limit. I mean, couldn't you at least have a guy at one end and a guy at the other end? And most of these practice sites for these NBA teams
some
have got
huge.
six hoops. Yeah. And, you know, you couldn't just have it. You can't go down there, but here you can stay at your hoop. You can work out here.
Yeah, you would think you could pull that off. I don't know. So each team, each state doing things a little bit differently.
We'll talk to Dr. Benjamin Davis from the Infectious Disease Department at Mass General Hospital. He'll join us in just a couple of minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
We'll get back to the calls with you guys in just a couple of minutes. Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he has on a couple of occasions in the past, from Mass General Hospital, Department of Infectious Diseases, Dr. Benjamin Davis. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, let's start with something positive. Tell me something that's positive about what you're seeing of late here concerning the coronavirus.
Okay. You know, last time we spoke, I think we had some really encouraging news on treatment for coronavirus. I think this week we've heard a couple of really encouraging things on the vaccine front. We have a group in Cambridge that has shown that a vaccine, at least in a few healthy volunteers, looks like it produces antibodies to the same level that we see in people who've recovered from the coronavirus. And there's a group at the Beth Israel Deaconess that has shown in a monkey model that animals that have been vaccinated seem to be protected from infection with the coronavirus. So this is, obviously very early, but I would say also very encouraging.
So speaking of people who have recovered from the coronavirus, is there any more known about whether or not they can get it again?
Yeah, I do think that we have, I think there's reason to be hopeful. This study in monkeys does seem to, if humans are like monkeys, and they are in a lot of ways, I think that that would be very encouraging. We also have had reports from people who've had it and then tested negative and then tested positive again. And it seems like the second time around, they have a very limited ability, if at all, to transmit the virus. So I think we are starting to be more hopeful that recovery from this illness can be meaningful and perhaps provide some protective immunity.
There is overwhelming numbers which show that children are much less likely to be adversely affected by COVID-19, and yet we're finding, at least in small numbers, some rather troubling cases of children at risk right now. Are you finding that sort of thing where you are as well?
We have been seeing a similar illness. Most of the kids who've gotten sick have been in New York, and I would say this is a very interesting, I think, poorly understood inflammatory condition that some children, I really want to emphasize that this is a tiny minority of all kids who are infected probably, and this should not undercut the message that children really, really very, very rarely become sick. But yeah, there have been some descriptions of a strange, I might almost say, reaction to the coronavirus in some children.
Just how important is wearing the masks out when you're in public? I know,
still,
people. Yeah.
Yeah, still important. I know the governor is proceeding with a open up plan, but I think he's very carefully underlined the fact that this really shouldn't change the way we wash our hands, use a face mask when we're out, and avoid crowds. And remember, wearing a mask is more about protecting other people if you happen to have coronavirus but aren't yet showing symptoms. So think of the people that you're around when you're putting that mask on.
Obviously, this is an all-sports radio station, and that's our domain most of the time. Based on your best guesses, is it likely that when there's a return to professional sports in this country, it will almost have to be in empty arenas and stadiums to start?
I do think that that is, it's hard to imagine an arena or a stadium full of people, at least this year. I think that that is almost certainly going to be the case. But I think that people are looking toward the fall and thinking that there may possibly be a way to have sports happening on the field. You know, four days ago, the German Soccer League opened up, and I think we'll learn a lot about how you can safely have competition. And hopefully, with the lessons learned there, we'll be able to apply that here in the U.S.
I know Ohio State, their athletic director, they've been doing some different models and tests and trying to figure out if they could get fans back when they play in the fall. And they have a stadium that seats 100,000. And they were talking about getting anywhere between 20 and 50,000 to go in there. And I understand you'd be cutting down the number of people in there. But to me, the way I see it, it would be kind of an all or nothing thing. Because once you're talking about 20, 30, 50,000 people, what's the difference between that and 100,000?
I tend to agree with you. I think that there's a lot of reason to think that sports may be able to proceed. You know, we haven't even talked about kind of individual sports and what you can do as a citizen here. And hopefully the next few weeks and months, we'll see more activity there. I think that a crowded stadium is probably the last bridge to cross, not the first.
Yeah. Are you concerned about the return to just academic life, both from the elementary and high school level, but all the way up through the college level, what that's going to look like in the fall?
Yeah, I am. I've got two kids of my own who I think are listening. I think opening schools is there's a lot of things to consider. You know, Boston's a big college town, and whether or not to have classes online or in person, I think, is something people are working out. Most schools, I think, are trying to look forward to a blended, a combination of things that happen in person and online. And I'm hoping that that means that as the summer goes on and we learn more about whether this infection is tailing off or perhaps staying a present problem, that schools will have the flexibility to make the right choice come September.
Now, could the coronavirus be seasonal in the sense that maybe if some of the numbers start to go down, it's maybe not even just because of the stuff that we're doing, it just happens to be the nature of it, and then there could be a spike later on?
It's a great point. And yes, you know, we talked about this earlier, and I think we don't yet know if this virus is going to follow the pattern of so many respiratory viruses that do tend to lessen during the summertime and then peak again in the winter and the early spring. Speaking about sports, I think that has real implications, for example, for the NFL. It may be that they're looking at a start date in the fall, but maybe have to finish a little earlier than anticipated if that's the way this virus is going.
As someone who has a family member who has had surgery postponed twice now because of the coronavirus, are you finding that hospitals such as Mass General Hospital are beginning to get back to some semblance of normalcy? I know one of the concerns I've read about is that there's a whole bunch of cancer patients out there who maybe haven't been getting checked on like they should have been, and there's concerns about a spike for those numbers, for instance.
Yeah. You know, I think it's important to say that hospitals have not closed, and I don't know of any facility that hasn't been able to see the sickest patients. But yes, it's true that a lot of elective procedures, routine care, did get postponed, and hospitals, ours and others, are all working on a safe way to not reintroduce patients because they've always been here with us, but being able to handle more. And I think you're going to see things like, you know, maybe your waiting room looks different, and maybe you have to do different things when you see your doctor. But yeah, I think we're starting to invite people back, probably with the more pressing needs first.
Now, you mentioned the German Soccer League, which opened up last weekend, and how maybe we can learn something from them. Can the same be said for states like Georgia, which have opened things up a lot quicker than say Massachusetts has? Are we up here going to be looking at all these other states as sort of like, all right, let's see how this all works out?
Well, hopefully, you know, we're doing it different ways in different states, and I think that probably underlying that is that this virus is affecting different parts of the country differently. So I don't think just because some places are going faster, I don't think that necessarily means it's wrong. I'm hoping that we can all learn from the early examples and pay attention to the data and look at important things like infection rate, hospitalization rate, and really try to use what experiments we've got going on to make informed decisions going forward.
Are you feeling optimistic with how things are trending at the moment? Most particularly here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Oh, for sure. There's no question that we hit our peak in the mid to late weeks of April. And if you look at the infection rate, hospitalization rate, death rate, those are all down. And they look like they're down pretty convincingly week after week. There are other places in the country where things seem to be plateauing or just hanging where they are. But I think here in Boston and here in Massachusetts, the news has mostly been encouraging.
Dr. Benjamin Davis, Mass General Hospital, Department of Infectious Diseases. We always appreciate the time. And thank your kids for listening to us as well, okay?
Thanks for having me back.
Thanks, Doc.
Thank you.
Dr. Benjamin Davis joining us. He's sounding optimistic, isn't he?
Pretty good, yeah. So, talking about you know, a month removed, perhaps, from the spike and, you know, heading in the right direction as far as everything is concerned. So I like it. That definitely sounds pretty positive as we slowly start to open things up.
I will say this, and he was adamant about this, you are not seeing fans in the stands anytime soon.
Well, the stands may not even be the Garden or Fenway.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's why the neutral site thing is really not a big deal, because it's not like you're
going
to have Yeah, it's not a home court advantage anyway. So whatever's the easiest and safest for all the players, because no one's going to be there, then so be it. Now, the fall, I think that could be interesting. I think you could maybe get maybe half of an NFL season, you know, without fans, and then the second half with them. Or, again, there's going to have to be a decision made by Roger Goodell and the league. If some states are allowing it and some aren't, are you going to just, you know, kick away that money because, hey, fair is fair? Or are you going to say, you know what, you guys go ahead and open up, and then we'll kind of split that with everybody? Or, you know, I think that's going to have to be a decision that's made maybe by the end of the year.
Still to come here on Dale and Keefe, our Awaken 180 take that needs a 180. That's coming up at about 1:30 or so. The Dale and Keefe Movie Club submits our nominations at about 1:45 or, you know, somewhere in that ballpark.
And all eyes are on John and Shime, because they have had some stinkers.
Why are any eyes on Shime right now?
Because he's bad movie
picks. He loses every week.
I know, but it's almost like a waste. It's like a waste of a pick. John was like even worse, because it was what we thought was a waste of a pick, and then it won, and then we all had to watch Secret Life of Pets 2, which was useless. That was just an absolute waste of time. If you're going to pick a bad movie, have it be like so bad that it's entertaining or something.
This is just building towards us watching Room, isn't it? Not the Shine Room, but the Tommy Wiseau Room.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen that. I'd watch that again. That's fine. Yeah, no, and also that's the other thing. If a movie has been submitted before, win or law, or whether it lost, it can't be nominated again.
Yeah, so sorry, Shime.
Sorry, Shime. I can't watch
it. No, it's totally okay. I had a different movie planned today anyway, so we're good.
Oh,
is that right?
I sure is. Good. I have something much more fun. That's the word I'd go with. Fun.
Speaking of fun, you know what I was doing last night, Dale?
Uh-oh.
I was watching Shime and Davey Eyeballs play golf on Twitch.
We have a ball.
He has really gotten into the golf thing, hasn't he?
Oh, he's embraced the golf. He is 100% all in on golf. And, I'm sitting there watching these guys play like a skins game or something. I'm like,
back in the
hell?
Day when I had kids still living in the house, Wii golf was a big thing here, you know, where you actually get to swing your arm and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I got to be real good at Tiger Woods golf on Wii.
Oh, Tiger Woods golf is a great game. They got this PGA Tour golf coming out. What is that, 2K21?
August
that
31st.
Out? This game looks awesome. I'm definitely getting this game.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.